Hey, good morning. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Samach Ches. We left off on Kuf Samach Zayin, five lines up from the bottom. Today we're going to cover a number of topics. First, we're going to bring down a couple of stories of Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba and people who came before him, and he was a little bit confused. We'll see as to whether the person who was coming before him was the same person who he had testified about or he had verified the identity of previously. The Gemara is then going to continue with the discussions of who is responsible for writing or for paying for the various shtaros, whether we write shtaros when only one person is present, whether we write shtaros only when both parties are present. So we'll see all that. And then the Mishnah on Kuf Samach Ches Amud Aleph talks about somebody who paid back part of a loan and then entrusts the shtar to a third party and says, if I don't give it to you until by a certain date, then you're entitled to assume that I did not pay back the loan. We'll see that this is discussing the concept of asmachta. And then the Mishnah on the bottom, which carries over onto Kuf Samach Ches Amud Beis, talks about what happens if you have a shtar chov that is erased for whatever reason. It's mistakenly erased. Is there any way to basically recreate what was written in that shtar chov, which has now been erased? So we'll see. The Gemara gives us a prescription for effectively recreating the shtar that has been erased. All right, so let's see Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Five lines up from the bottom, and I should note that this is a special visiting day edition of the DAF, and therefore I might cut it shorter than 40 or 45 minutes, depending on how many texts I get during the shir. So says the Gemara, Hu Tavra Davi Chasam Aleh Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. There was a receipt that Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba was signed on. Also Lekaime, and again, the receipt was a receipt saying that the woman had already collected the ksuba that the husband owed her. So Hu Tavra Davi Chasam Aleh Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Also Lekaime, it's a certain woman came before him, Amra Le Lava No Havoi, and the woman said, oh yeah, I do want to collect my ksuba, but I'm not the woman who's referenced in that receipt, I'm a different woman. So Amar Ana Nami Amra Lahu Lav Ihi. So Rav Yirmiyahu says to himself, sort of rhetorically, I also thought that she was not the same woman. In other words, that you were not the same woman who I had signed this shuvar in respect of. And then they told me that no, what happened was, it is the same woman that you signed the shuvar for. So she really did collect her ksuba. Why does she appear differently? Because now she's a little bit older and her voice is a little bit deeper. That's what happens when people age. They change a little bit. So that's what happened in this situation. So says the Gemara that Amar Abaye Afagav the Amar Rabbanan, even though the Chachamim say Kivon Shehigid Shuv Eino Choser Umagid, that once you give over testimony, you are not able to retract the testimony. You're not able to give conflicting testimony. Tzurva Merabbanan Lav Orcha LeMeidak. It's Tzurva Merabbanan, a rabbinical scholar. It's not his derech to be medayek in Noshim. And therefore what? So says the Rashbam, if you look in the Rashbam, Tzurvam Rabbanan Kegon Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba Lav Darkei LeMeidak Ulahakir B'Noshim Kol Kach. They don't go around staring at women, so they're not so familiar with the various women and what each one looks like. V'Agada Kamaisa Sha'amar D'Lav Ihihi. And therefore, his rhetorical comment when he said, oh, at first when you came to me, I thought also you were not the same woman whose name was referenced in the Shuvar, Lav Klumi. That's not considered to be anything. V'lo Mikri Chozi Omagid B'Mash Amar L'Bsof Ati. And therefore, when he then retracts that thought and said, oh, you really are the woman, that's not considered to be a chozer umagid on an initial edus. Elish and Ishtana Kolach, but however your voice just changed. The Kivan Omar Hashta Diktakti Yafe Samchinan Alea Mehemnele. Since he says, now I was Medaktek Yafe, now I actually paid attention. Then this is the only edus that it's considered that he's giving. And the initial comment that he made is not actually considered to be any edus at all. The Rishonim in general work over here trying to figure out how whatever Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba said is edus, because it doesn't really seem like any of it is edus at all. All it seems is if he's making a rhetorical comment, and the only time he might be giving any edus is at the end when he says, oh no, you are the woman, because it seems that he's just like ruminating. Oh, at first I also thought that you weren't the, where's that a testimony that she's not the woman? Rabbi Chanan is also bothered that if it is true that a Talmud Chacham is not medayek in Nashim, and he's not staring at women, so he doesn't know which woman is whom. So why do we ever accept testimony that a Talmud Chacham would give regarding Nashim? And he answers that we're not really afraid that they're going to make a mistake unless they tell us explicitly that they've made a mistake. But otherwise, we'll accept testimony of Talmidei Chachamim regarding Nashim, even though, generally speaking, they don't scrutinize women to such an extent. All right, that was one story. The second story, Ha'u Tavra Davi Chosam Ale Rav Yirmiyahu Ben Abba. Again, Rav Yirmiyahu Ben Abba signed on a receipt for a ksuba. Amrelei, so the woman said, Lava no havoi. It is not me. It's not me that's referenced in this shuvar, and therefore I can't collect my ksuba from my husband. Amar lei, Ivra. No, he said, indeed, Antu, it is you. So Amar Abaye, so says Abaye, Afogav the tzurva merabonan lav orchelem edak, kivan the dok. Even though we had said that generally speaking, it is not the derech of Talmidei Chachamim that they stare at women, so they don't necessarily know which woman is whom. If, however, he does pay attention, then he pays attention, and his edus is considered to be an edus. So Tosfos over here is bothered. So it says the top Tosfos, Vim Tomar, Hecha Damar Mitchila Lav Ihi, Amar Sheyacha Lahachzir. So if in the first story, where the woman came before Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, and he was simply, you know, he was saying rhetorically, oh, at first I thought you weren't the woman, but now that I pay attention and I see you are the woman, we had said that's not considered to be Kivan Sheikid Shove Nechozer Amagid, and we believe the second part of what he said. So of course, Kolshkein Kishomer Metchila Zoshi Dineman Afal Pishain Darko Lestakel Behen. That when he says initially and definitively, oh, this is the woman, you are the woman in the Shuvar, of course you're believed. In other words, this is no different than the first Maisa, where at first he said something, and then he said, oh no, but now that I focus, I see that you're the woman. So here in this case, now he's saying from the beginning, I see that you focused and you're the woman. I'm focused and I see that you're the woman. Why wouldn't he be believed? So Teira Tzachi Kamar, Kivan the duck, Bim Rotza Lachzar, Ina Chozer Magid. In other words, in the first case, what happened was he was Stam making a comment and then he paid attention and we said it's not a problem of Kivan Shegid, Shuvena Chozer Magid, because the first statement that he made wasn't really considered to be an Eidos. The chiddush over here is that if he does pay attention and if he does positively identify a woman, and if that identification is considered to be an edus because he paid attention, then that's his edus, and kivan shegid shuvei nechozer magid. Then once he says that testimony, he's no longer believed to say, he's no longer able to say, oh no, it wasn't really you. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Abaye, Hayt Sorvim Rabbanon, rabbinical scholars, the Ozo Lekdushe Issasa, that want to be Mekadesh, a woman, so they want to give Kedushin to a woman. Nidaber im Amaretz Behedya, they should bring in Amaretz along with them, Dilma Michlefu La Mina, Mine. Maybe, lest they come and swap out women, because the Sorvim Rabbanon is a very holy person, he's not paying such attention to the women, and we're afraid that he's not going to recognize the woman who's supposed to be given to him as a wife, and that's why the Eitzah that the Gemara brings is that he should bring an Ama Aretz with him. The Rambam paskins that it's mutter to look at a woman in order to discern whether she's beautiful in his eyes and whether he wants to marry her. And the Ravid asks on the Rambam if it's true that it's mutter to look at a woman for the purposes of Kedushin to decide whether you want to marry the woman. So why does the Gemara here say that you should bring an Am Aretz along with you to look at the woman? If a Talmud Chacham is also allowed to look at the woman, then why do you have to bring an Am Aretz along? So the Magid Mishnah answers for the sheet of the Rambam that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to look at a woman in order to be bodek her to see if she finds favor in his eyes and if he wants to marry her. When does he bring the Amaretz? He should bring the Amaretz along to the wedding. Why? Because even though to make the Shidduch, the Talmud Chacham is going to be very focused, by the wedding there's going to be so much going on, he's not so used to looking at women, he's not going to be able to comprehend whether the woman who's they're giving to him at the wedding is actually the same woman as the one who he was bodek before to see if he wanted to give Kedushin to her. So that's why at the wedding he has to bring in Amaretz in order to check her, says the Magid Mishnah. Okay, so says the Gemara, Says the Gemara Vayter, Va'bal notein schar. We're talking here about a get that the Baal has to give the schar. My time of the Amar Kro Vikasa Vinasan, because it says Vikasa Vinasan, that he has to write it, he has to give it. In other words, he has to pay for it. So says the Gemara Ve'idna de Lavavdina Nachi. Nowadays, however, we don't do this. We say that the woman pays for the get. Why? Shadyu Rabbanan Aisha Ki Echid Lo Lashaya. The Rabbanan imposed the obligation to pay for the get on the woman, which at first seems to be disadvantageous to the woman, but is in fact an advantage to the woman. Because if the husband is responsible for paying for the get, it's possible he's going to refuse to give her a get, and she's going to become an aguna, because he is not going to want to pay for the get. He's stubborn, doesn't want to pay the $250 or the $500, whatever it is. So therefore we say the woman has to pay for it, and it puts at least within her control. Once the husband agrees to give a get, oh, the woman is going to pay for the get. That way there's not going to be any holdup on account of a failure to pay. The chiddush over here, explained the Rishonim, is that even though we do have this pasuk after all, right? We have a pasuk of v'chasa v'nasan. So it has to be the husband's get. So how can it be that the wife is paying for the get, and that it's considered to be the husband's get? So midin hefker based in hefker, even though the wife is paying for the get, they viewed it as if based in his mafgir, her money, and they're making it as if it's the husband's money. So even though really the funds are coming from the wife, so we're not afraid that anybody's going to hold up the get on account of the funds, but midin hefker based in hefker, they made it as if it's his money, so it's also a kiyum in this gzeiras hakasa. Says the Gemara Vayter. Kosvin shtar lelova afal pi shein malve imo, says the Gemara Pshita. Of course, he could write a shtar for the lova, even though the malva is not with him. The lova is assuming all of the risk here, right? Because now the lova is walking around with a shtar saying that he borrowed $100 from such and such. So if he wants that shtar written even before the loan actually occurs, aye, God bless. I mean, he's taking the risk, right? So says the Gemara, lo tzricha be'iska. We're not talking about a straight up loan. We're talking about what we call an iska. We're all familiar from the concept of heter iska. Iska is really a joint venture where they share in profits and losses. And so I might think that since it's not fully benefiting the lova, therefore you can't draw up the document without the malva there, without the counterparty there. Kamash Malon, yes, you can, says the Gemara Vayter. So, Kosven Shtar Lamocher, Afal Pishein Lokeachimo, that you can write a shtar for the Mocher, even though the buyer is not with him. Pshita, again, says the Gemara, this is Pashut. The Mocher is allowed to write a shtar that he sold something. He's bearing all the risk. If he loses the shtar, then whoever finds the shtar is going to be entitled to whatever it is that's mentioned in the shtar. Says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha B'Mocher Sadeh B'mnei Rasa. We're talking about a case where he's selling a field because of a blemish in the field. Says the Rashbam, this is going on the part of the Mishnah where we said that the Lokeach has to pay for the shtar because the Lokeach has all the hana. So I might think that the Lokeach only has all the hana where he's buying a good item, where he's buying a field that the Mocher is selling, Vimnei Ra'asa, because of a blemish in the field. I might think that it's the Mocher who's benefiting, not the Lokeach, and therefore the Mocher has to draw up the shtar. Kamash Malan, the Lokeach benefits as well, even because the Gemara quotes an idiom which is brought down in Maseches Bava Metzia. We saw that Zavanta Kanisa Zavin Ovid, that if you acquire something, then you've acquired, then you've gained, and if you sell something, then you've lost. Even if you're selling a field in Ra'asa, it's still considered to be a benefit to purchase it. Says the Gemara Vayter, in Kosvin Shtari Erusin, Pshita, it's Pashat that you can only write Shtari Erusin and Nesuin with both of them there, and that the Kasan pays for it because he is Kaviyachal acquiring the woman. Says the Gemara Pshita, Lo Tzricha Dafilu Tzurvim Rabbana Denichalei Lechamua Lekrovei. Even if the guy is like a Glick Shidduch and he's a big Talmud Chacham, and you might think that the father-in-law is so excited to have him as a son-in-law, maybe the father-in-law, maybe the girl's family should pay for these Shtaros to be drawn up. It's Kamash Malan, says the Mishnah, no, it's still the chassan's obligation to pay for all of these shtaros. Ein kosven shtara risas v'kablonos, unless both parties are there, and the kablon has to pay. So of course the kablon has to pay. He's the one who's benefiting. Pshita v'tzricha b'bora. We're talking about a field that has to lie fallow for a year first before it can be cultivated. And therefore I might think that there is no immediate benefit to the kablon. Kamash Malan, yes, there is. Ein kosven shtori birurin elamidashneim. The only right shtori birurin with the das of both of them. and both of them have to pay. And we saw machlokas in the Mishnah. So first, let's see what shtari berurin are. So my shtari berurin, what are shtari berurin? Hachi targimu shtari tanasa. So shtari berurim are shtari taina. So what's a shtari taina? That means that the litigants write down the taina that they're going to bring in court. It's basically, as we said yesterday, it's a legal brief. So Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba amar zeh boreh lo echa vezeh boreh lo echa. No, shtari berurin are not shtaros that set forth the taina of the Balei Din, it's the shtaros of selecting dayanim. Zebor lo echad v'zebor lo echad. That's when you have a base in Shalshlosha, you do a process called Zabla. Each litigant chooses one dayan, then the other two dayanim collectively choose the third dayan. That's berurin, because we're figuring out, we're being mevarer who the dayanim are. So now we saw a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabban Shimon Gamaliel, where Rabban Shimon Gamaliel Omer Lishneim Kosven Shnayim Zlozel La'atzmo V'lozel Ba'atzmo. We saw Machlokas in the Mishnah, how many Shtaros Birurin do we write? Do we write one Shtar Birurin for the both of the litigants, or do we write two Shtar Birurin so that each litigant can take a Shtar Birur? So says the Gemara, Lema B'kofen Al Midas Tom Kamifilgi. So should we say that we're arguing on whether we're Kofel Midas Tom? So what is Kofel Midas Tom? So if you look in the Rashbam over here, it says, Lema Kofen Al Midas Tom Kamifilgi, Midas Tom Kiditnan. So what is Midas Tom? First of all, Omer Shali Shali Shalach Shalach Zu Midah Beninis V'yesh Omer Zu Midas Tom. So first of all, says the Rashbam, the Midas Tom that we're talking about is somebody who says what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. Doesn't necessarily seem to be so bad. One day in Pirkei Avos says that that's the Midah Beninis. We're following the daya that says that that's Midas Sodom. That's considered to be very stingy and very spiteful. So Lema, Tanakama Savar Shneim Nostan Schar V'Nostan Shtar Echad Bein Shneim. That the according to the Tanakama, both of them have to pay jointly for the shtar, and then they get one shtar to keep in between the two. Vim yomar echad meyam lo etein es haschar ki ani chafet sheili yashtar echad levadi ulechash shtar echad shtar acher v'yishali shali v'shalcha shalcha. And if the one of the litigants says, I don't want to pay for a shtar that we're holding jointly, I want my own and I want yours to be yours, what is that? That's Midas Tom, because he's saying, Shali Shali Shalcha Shalcha. V'yosen Echad Kimash Amar Midas Tomu. Because Tanakama says that you force them to accept one, because that's Midas Tom, to say Shali Shali V'Shalcha Shalcha. We're Kofen Al Midas Tom. We're Kofen so that you don't act in conformity with Midas Tom, and therefore we force them to take one shtar collectively. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar ain't Kofen. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, we're not Kofal Midas Tom. And if the guy wants to act like Midas Tom and say Shali Shali V'Shalcha Shalcha, we'll let him do that, and therefore we would make two shtaros, one for each litigant. So Umar Savar ain't Kofen. So maybe that's the machloka. Says the Gemara, lo, the Kuliyama B'Kofen. Everybody says Kofen al Midas Tom, that if the only issue were a Midas Tom issue, then you would be able to force the guy to keep the one shtar in between the two of them. So what's the reason of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel? The Amar Lei, Lanicha Lei Tetavi Schuseich Gabe Schusi, the Dame Salach Ki Arya de Arbe. I don't want, and this is going according to the Shita that Shtar Birurin is like a legal brief, he'll say, I don't want to hold one Shtar which jointly sets forth my argument and your argument, because we're Balei Din, we're litigants, we're adversaries. And if my Tainos are written in a Shtar that you're holding on to, then it's as if I'm giving my Tainos to a lurking lion, because you're then going to use my Tainos against me and you're going to figure out how to respond. And therefore, it's a legitimate concern that leads you to want to take separate Shtaros. All right, says the next Mishnah, Misha Pora Mixas Chovo, if a person pays off part of his Chov, Hishlish Eshtaro, and he is Mashlish Ishtar by somebody else, and the Rashbam explains, Amalve Valove Masrubi Ad Shalish, why they give the shtar to a third party? Because the alternative would be, and we'll see this in the coming week, the alternative would be to write a shover, to write a receipt for the Love saying that he repaid part of the loan, but that's a pain because you have to go to Basin and you have to find Adam to sign the receipt. So instead, what they did was they gave the shtar to a third party. Bummer low, and he said, "Imlo etein lecha mekan vad yom ploni tein lo shtaro." And they basically said to the shalish, the malva said, the lova said to the shalish, "If I don't pay the guy back within 30 days." Then the malva is entitled to go and get the entire shtar back. Now remember, this was a shtar for $100. The lova paid back 50 and said, if I don't give you 50 by July 31st, you're entitled to get the $100 shtar, and now you could collect $100 again. So came July 31st, and the guy didn't pay back the loan. So Rabbi Yossi Omer Yitain. Rabbi Yossi says, well, okay, so he said, if I don't pay you by a certain day, then the Shlish should give the Malva back the entire shtar. And the Malva is going to be able to collect the 50 that he already got and an extra 100. So Rabbi Yossi Omer Yitain. Rabbi Yuda Omer Lo Yitain. Rabbi Yuda says, no, you shouldn't give back the shtar to the Malva, because the shtar to the Malva, the shtar that you're going to give back to the Malva has the original amount. And that's going to allow the Malva to collect twice, or to collect 1.5 times. That's not the right result, so therefore you can't give it back. So says the Gemara, this is a familiar machlokes, but my kamiflagi, Rav Yossi savar asmachta kanya, Rav Yuda savar asmachta lo kanya. Rav Yossi says, yes, you should give the shtar back to the malveh, because this is called asmachta. Asmachta is that the loveh had assumed that he was going to be able to repay the loan by that date, and this is an asmachta, but asmachta kanya, it's valid, and therefore, if in fact the loveh doesn't pay back the loan by that date certain, then the malveh is entitled to a shtar back. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, lo yitain, because asmachta lo kanya. Had the lova known that he wouldn't be able to pay back the loan by that date, certainly he never would have made this ridiculous comment. And therefore, he didn't have a gemiras das, asmachta lo kanya, that's why you don't give the shtar back to the malva. So Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravu, Amar Rav Halacha Krav Yossi, the Halacha is like Rav Yossi, that asmachta kanya, and therefore you give back the shtar. Ki also lekameid Rav Ami, Amar Lohu v'chimiachash, Rav Yochanan melamdeinu pam rishon v'shni, Halacha Krav Yossi, ani ma'esa. Now that Rav Yochanan keeps teaching us multiple times that the Halacha is like Rav Yossi, what can I do to try to get away from this Shita as the halacha? However, v'ein halacha k'Rav Yossi. However, la halacha, the halacha is not like Rav Yossi. The Rashbam says, afal pishani muko imo, even though usually we do paskan like Rav Yossi because he has such penetrating depth of insight, de asmachta lo kanya, ele imkein konami nebe beisten chashav, ubedlo onis, kadamar mesechas nadarim. We paskan like we hold in mesechas nadarim that asmachta is lo kanya. So in the case in the Mishnah, we would not give the shtar back to the malveh, because the comment that the lova made, if I don't pay you back by a date certain, give the whole shtar back to the malveh, that was an asmachta. Asmachta is lo kanya. Says the next Mishnah, samisha nimchak shtar chovo. If a person shtar chov is erased, mamed ala edim, he has to be mamed edim on the shtar. He should find edim who know what was written in the shtar, and when the shtar was written. And therefore the Rashbam explains that these Edim will go to Beis Din and they'll make a Kiyum in Beis Din and they'll say, we saw the shtar, this is when the shtar was dated, this is what was said in the shtar, and this is who signed the shtar. So Balav Nei Beis Din V'yosin Lo Kiyum Ish Ploni Ben Ploni Nimchak Shtaro Biyom Ploni, such and such, his shtar was erased on whatever date, Uploni Uploni Edav, and so were the Edim on the shtar. So the Rashbam explains this comment that Ploni Ploni Edav means that this is all part of the Kiyam, right? That Edim, who saw what was written on the shtar, so they saw what was written, then the shtar was erased, they'll go to Beis Din and say, oh, the shtar that's erased, it was dated so-and-so, it said that so-and-so borrowed money from so-and-so, and Reuven and Shimon were the Edim. Tosfa says that the comment, Uploni Uploni Edav, means that it's the actual Edim who signed on the shtar are now going to Beis Din and saying, we are the ones who signed on the shtar, and this is what it said, and this is when it was dated. Not that there are other people who are testifying that these are the Edim who were signed on the shtar. Whatever. Either way, they do this Kiyum in Beis Din. So Tana Rabbanan, so says the Gemara, Ezo Kiyumo, what is it? How do you do a Kiyum shtar? So they say like this, they use the following formulation, Moshav Tulsa Avinan, we're sitting in a group of three, Anu Ploni Uploni Uploni, the following three Dayanim, Hotzi Ploni Ben Ploni Shtar Mochuk Lefaneinu, Ploni Ben Ploni presented a Nereish Shtar in front of us, Biyom Ploni, on a certain date, Uploni Uploni Edav, and so and so and so and so were his Edim, Viyam Kosov Bo, and if it's written in that Kiyum, who's kaknu le dusan shel edim v'nimtse se dusan mechuvenes, that we delved into the veracity of this edus and we found the edus to be in order, gova, then you can collect using this shtar, ve'en etzorech lavi raya, and you don't have to bring, and you don't have to bring another, and you don't have to bring another raya. So what does this mean? So says the Rashbam, im kosovo huskaknu sha'amdu elu beistin hamakaimin v'tikru v'chokru v'chikru edim achsumim bo lehayed al chasmeyem v'nimsa dvar mechubanim. So we did the full drisha v'chakira. Then this is a good shtar. And gove. What does it mean, gove? Gove mizman rishona kosa b'shtar. V'ein sarach raya acheres. You could collect even from the date that was written in that shtar that was erased, and that's referenced in this kiyum. V'im lav, and however, if not, if this formulation was not written, then sarach lavi raya acheres alazman v'alaschum hamoz. If this magic formula is not written, where it says "huskaknu le'edus le'edusin shel edam v'nimtzas edusin mechuvenes," then you need a raya, you need an additional raya on everything, on every aspect of this, in order to collect with it. Ve'ena tzarech lavi raya, v'imlav tzarech lavi raya. If you don't have this formulation, then you have to bring another raya before you can collect with the shtar. Now we say nikra, if the shtar was ripped, puzzle, then it's puzzle, because we'll see why in the Gemara in a second. Niskara, if it, and so Nikra, I said, Nikra, I should have said, if someone ripped it, then it's puzzle. Niskara, if it was ripped, kosher, then it's going to be kosher. Nimchak o netatesh, if it's erased, like for example, if water spills on it or something, imri shuma nikar, kosher. So if the outline of the letters of the writing is still nikar, then that shtar is going to be kosher. So says the Gemara, you used a couple of words that are very, very similar to one another. Hechi dami nikra, hechi dami niskara. What's the difference between nikra and niskara? So Amar Rav Yehuda, nikra kerashel beistin. Nikra is a kerashel beistin. Niskara kerashel einershel beistin. Niskara is like a rip that happened on its own. That's a rip that is not done by beistin. Says the Gemara, okay, but what is the difference between a rip done by Beis Din and a rip that is not done by Beis Din? Say, Echi Dami Kereshel Beis Din. What is a rip that's done by Beis Din like? What does that look like? Zom Rav Yehuda Makom Edim, that when Beis Din rips up a shtar to show that the shtar is now void, because the shtar has already been paid off, for example, they rip the makom of the Edim, umakom azman, and the place where it says azman, umakom atoref, and the place where the body of the text is written. So basically, it's a rip that goes through the Edim, the zman, and the toref. They rip up everything to make sure that you can never, ever collect with this shtar. Abaya Omar Shasiv Arev. Abaya says they would rip it lengthwise and widthwise. Typically, I mean, Shasiv Arev technically means the warp and the woof, but basically what it means is they would rip it like an X. They would make sure it's ripped both ways. The Mefarshim explained that Abaya doesn't necessarily come and argue on the first Shita, but rather when you're ripping the Makom Azman and the Makom Ha'edim and the Makom HaToref, you're also ripping it lengthwise and widthwise. However, so that's the only type of shtar that's puzzle, because it's apparent that Beis Din ripped the shtar so as to signify that this shtar is invalid. This shtar is now void. However, if you have a shtar that was simply ripped and it wasn't ripped in this official capacity, then we assume that the ripping of the shtar was a mistake, and therefore you're allowed to collect with a shtar. Hanu Arvoi, there was a certain Arab guy, the Asulu Pumpadisa, that he came to Pumpadisa, Davika Ansu Arasa de Inshi, and he was stealing land from people. So what they do? So also Marvasai Lakameda Abaye. So the owner of the land came before Abaye, and Amarle Lechse Man Shtare, Velichtov Le Man Shtara Achrina Achrina Alea, the Mitnis Chad Naktinan Chad Biyadan. So they said, why don't we do the following? Let's write a duplicate shtar of what was written in the shtar on the land that we're holding as the owner of the land. And therefore, if the Yishmaelim come and they seize the land from us and they take our shtar, at least we'll have a backup shtar in reserve, and then we'll be able to go to whoever the Yishmaelim sell the land to after they seize it, and we'll be able to collect. So says the Gemara, Amar Lu, my Avid Lechu, Damar Rav Safra, Ein Kosfin Shtei Sharos Al Shada Echaz. Well, I mean, it sounds like a great idea. I'd love to do that. But Rav Safra says that I can't write two shtaros on one field. Why? Dilma tarif v'hadar tarif. Because maybe you're going to collect, and then again you're going to collect. What does that mean? So says the Rashbam, We're talking about a case where you buy a field with achrayas. So you buy a field from a mocher with achrayas. Sometimes the balchov of the mocher, malva of the mocher, is going to come and collect from the shtar that you already bought from the mocher. And then you, the guy who bought this shtar, who bought this sada with achrayas, will go to other people who bought sados from the mocher, and you'll collect from them. And you'll give to the lokeach that you're taking the land from one of the shtaros, so that buyer who you seize the field from can then go back to the mocher and get his money back. And if you have two shtaros, let's say if I buy a shtar with achrayas and I have two shtaros, and then the malv of the mocher comes and takes my field, I now have two shtaros. I could go to two different lekuchos who bought previously from the mocher and present one of the shtaros to each of them, and I could collect two fields for the one field of mine that was seized. So that's the danger of having two shtaros on a single field. Dilma tarif fahadar tarif. So what you're saying is a good idea that I should write you a duplicate shtar, but I can't do that because of what Rav Safra said. Tavi katar delay. But they were bugging the heck out of him. They were bothering Abaya, write us the shtar. We want you to write us a duplicate shtar. So I'm really Lasafri, so he said to his sofer, Zil Kosavlu. Hu alamechek ve'edav ala nayar. Write them a second shtar that the toref is written on an erased portion and the edim sign on a new piece of cloth, the puzzle, because the shtar like that is puzzle. So I'm placating them by writing them what they think is a duplicate shtar, but really it's not a duplicate shtar, because that shtar would never be valid if presented in basin to collect from lekuchos or to do anything else with a shtar. But maybe the roshem of what's erased is going to be nikkur. And what did we say? What did we just say? What did we just say here in the brisa? It said v'tanya nimchak onetashtesh. If the shtar is erased or it's rubbed out, im rishumo nikkur kosher. If the roshem of the shtar of the roshem of the writing is nikkur, then that shtar is going to be kosher. So says the Gemara. Amarle mika mina shtarim alya. What do you think that I was saying that you should write the words in the shtar and then erase it and then have the Adam sign on the Nayar? That would be kosher if the Roshem of the original writing was still legible, was still visible. So Aleph Beis Be'alma Kamina. No, I meant that only you should write the Aleph Beis. In other words, write Aleph Beis on the shtar, then erase it, and then you're going to have a shtar which is Hula Mechek Edav Alanayer, that type of shtar is puzzle. That which we're afraid, it might be validated because it might be Rishuma Nikr. Rishuma Nikr means the original writing is Nikr. Here my original writing is gibberish. It's like I typed some nonsense. So I wrote some nonsense to make sure, just to placate them. But there is no danger that they're going to be able to collect twice with a shtar, because the duplicate shtar is not going to be a valid shtar that is going to be presentable in basin. All right, so we'll leave off over here a little bit early. Sorry, I have to run, and we will pick up from here, God willing, tomorrow.